It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Fidget spinners are big on Tinder.
Well, it's guys who just swipe right for every single girl. So they just put
their phone underneath the fidget spinner
and let it go for like 2 hours, and they've swiped right on like 15,000 girls.
Good God, people are nuts.
They are nuts.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app. Now on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, Craig Button in here. The O-Dog will be back. He's dragging Bob McKenzie with him around 6:20. Can't get enough of this video of Donald Trump pushing a NATO leader out of the way at the NATO summit in Belgium to get to the front of the line for picture day. I can't get enough, Craig. I know, like, this is a sports show. We don't do a lot of politics, but every day there's something else with Trump.
How about the GOP congressman in Montana?
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Was it Montana?
Yeah, it was Montana. He body slammed the reporter. That's probably not going to help. You wouldn't think, but you never know. Maybe he'll get elected now.
Yeah, well, you don't know. I mean, he had the endorsement of the three, I guess, major papers in Montana. They all rescinded it.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. We've had enough of you? Interesting.
It is amazing.
But you're right. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if he won, because it's a weird time when it comes to the way people perceive the media.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the media is the enemy for some people, and it's kind of scary how it's gotten that far.
The lying media, right?
Yeah, that's right. The fake news.
The fake news.
You are fake news.
That's right. You are whoever you were in Montana.
What a narrative. What a narrative to say, though. But it is. It is a narrative to really attack. And really, he put everybody in the same... He did it with one brush, right? Everybody.
Right. Everyone's fake news. Yeah, yeah. New York Times, Washington Post,
quiet,
ABC.
Quiet.
NBC, CBS. Get this. So, as we know, earlier in the week, Jeff Weltman, who was the GM of the Raptors, took the job in Orlando to be the president of basketball operations. And all these different reports have been coming out over the past few hours. The Raptors are going to get compensation. They're going to get a second-round pick in 2018 as compensation, which is not out of the ordinary. That's the way it generally works. But another provision is being reported recently that Toronto and Orlando are not allowed to be trading partners at all until the end of the 17-18 season and can't even work out like a three-way deal, nothing. So it's almost as if they just can't even talk to each other. That seems a bit strange to me, like a bit too much. Like, it's not the first time an executive has moved from one team to the other. I could see it if it was, like, draft-related. Like, remember that happened with Rick Dudley when he left the Leafs and went to Montreal right before the draft?
Well, it happened to me. When I went from my Dallas to Calgary in 2000, I was not allowed to participate in the draft.
And that makes sense to me.
Yeah,
you knew their secrets. You knew who they liked, who they wanted.
Well, it was about, like, you know, the influence. And Bob Gainey was very clear that that's how, like, Bob Gainey. I mean, I'm amazed that other teams, when they don't put that stipulation on it. Bob was very upfront with Calgary and told me this is totally made sense.
Right.
Totally made sense.
If you move up to take a guy that you know that they wanted, now you wanted him too. You're not going to do it just to be an idiot.
Right.
But you know they wanted him. You knew they were going to take him with the 68th pick, so I got to get to 67.
Actually, you know what I did, Brian? And I just said, just to remove any appearances, I sat up in a suite.
During the draft.
Yeah. And so if there was a trade to be made, I could still do that. And, you know, talk. But I just, to remove all appearances, I sat in a suite.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I think the draft is way more information.
Why the Pittsburgh Penguins wouldn't put that same stipulation on the Buffalo Sabres?
Right, with Botterill.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, I'll give you permission, but you're not part of this draft.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I would do the same thing. And, like, I understand why other teams would say, I get it why the team would be like, well, we want him involved. I mean, it's a big part of what he's potentially going to build.
But they
here.
Knew the rules going up.
But you know the rules. You're going to poach our guy. This is what comes with the territory.
Let me tell you an interesting story. And, you know, I worked with Bob for 10 years and, you know, learned so much and just have great respect for the man. But so one of the things was Calgary had to turn over their draft list to Bob Gainey.
Really?
Yep. They had to turn. No, it was in an envelope, right? Mm-hmm. So if there was any suggestion, like if he thought, okay, Craig's involved, or I don't like, because he knew their list and he knew that I knew the list, right? I mean, I developed the list. Right?
In Dallas, you had,
right? Yeah. So, you know, that was part of it, right? And you know, I remember one time coming into a meeting in Calgary, and they had on the board, they had a whiteboard, and they were trying to, and I just said, hey, turn that whiteboard around. They were trying to show me their list without.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it was a situation where he didn't really need to know the list until after the draft, so that maybe if he felt like something went awry there.
Anyway, so long story short, they gave it to him. They put it in an envelope, gave it to him. And after the draft, we were sitting together, and Bob, we were just commiserating after the draft in his suite, and he handed me the
list and said, go ahead.
It was still in an envelope, still sealed in an envelope. And actually, the people tending to the room came in, and I just dropped it right into the garbage.
So
I didn't need, he trusted me. I didn't need to see it. It was done and passed, and away we went. And I had that sense of pride that, like, he had it, mm-hmm. but he never opened it. He never used it. He just
integrity is important. And, right?
But I was really, that was such a satisfying moment for me to just know he trusted me implicitly.
Well, take me through this, okay? When you're putting together a list, a draft board, do you really follow it religiously? Like, does it ever get to a point where you're in the third round and you say, well, we had this guy ranked as a second rounder, he's still available? So do you automatically take him, or at that point do you wonder, okay, did we miss something here? Why is he here? Is there another guy? You know what I'm saying? Like, how? Because if you have the list, what's the point of even sitting at the table? You just go up there, and whoever's atop the list, you take.
Well, we did a couple of things. Number one, we felt that there were certain players that just didn't fit for us. We knew that they would get drafted. We knew that some of them might be good NHL players, and some of them, we knew they'd be good NHL players, but they just didn't fit for us for whatever the reason was. And then after that, what we tried to do is get into groupings. So in the second round, we thought, okay, where's the realistic group of players we think we can have, right? And then as time is going on, and I'll give you an example. It was the draft with Yuri Fisher, so that would have been... he was a 2000 born. Was that 1998 draft? Anyway, I think it was the 1990. Anyway, regardless. And we had Yuri Fisher rated really high. And all of a sudden, he starts to slide. Now it's 10. We're picking like in the late 20s. It's 10, it's 15. And now you're starting to go, and we would never spend time on a guy that we thought was rated that high. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, now we're scrambling. And I literally scrambling. I go to Charlie Henry, who runs the Hull Olympics, right? And I find Charlie underneath, and I go, "Is something happened here? Is something we should..." There's nothing wrong with this guy. So, like, I mean, I had a good relationship with Charlie and others, and we're all doing that. So we got to the point where if he's there, we're taking him. Like, but you do start to think, did we have him rated too high?
Right. What's going on?
And that goes to the second round, Brian, and the third round. And I think it's necessary to ask yourself that question. Did we overrate this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the next question becomes, okay, like, is this a guy that maybe we can take another player here and still get that guy later? So you might use that a little bit. Well, he's dropping a little bit. Maybe we can get two players instead of one. Because you might say we can take him, but then we're not going to get that guy. And we go, well, let's take that guy and take our chances here. So
sure.
I think it has to be fluid.
And, or I mean, trading the pick, right? You could be sitting there saying, we have him this high. I'll bet you there's another team, and they might pay a lot to come up and get him.
And those calls come. So sometimes you're pushing out and being ready for it. So it has to be fluid, and you can't be rigid. And I think a lot of time gets wasted on, like if you're picking 20, like, doesn't matter if you have Heischer or Nolan 1 or 2. Doesn't matter.
They're not going to be
like,
there.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you have Miro Heiskanen, right? Like, just put them there. Say they're going to be – they're not there. Get so focused in on your area.
If you're picking 20, when would you start then? Like the 10th-ranked guy, the 12th, the 15th? At what point would you say, if you're picking 20, using that arbitrarily, okay, this guy could potentially fall back far enough?
I think every draft it is different. I'll tell you another story. Jeff Friesen. Do you remember what happened in Jeff Friesen's draft year?
No, I don't.
He scored 50 goals as a 16-year-old in his draft year, and all of a sudden – talk about him not being a good kid. It was unbelievable. And so we're picking 20, I think, or somewhere around there. And we were picking 20. We took Jason Botterill, ironically, at 20.
Is that right?
So we literally, after all the talk, Brian, we started to go, we got to do some work on Jeff Friesen. Like, we had him in our top, I think, in our top five guys. But we said, there's a legitimate chance. We went to Meadow Lake, where he grew up. We went to Regina, where he was going to school. We turned over every rock to try to find it, because we thought Okay, what is there something legitimate? We couldn't find it. We couldn't find anything that was substantive. In fact, he was just beyond reproach, great kid, right? But we legitimately thought that he could be there at 20. He went 11 to San Jose, but we legitimately thought that he could be there at 20. I mean, that was Jeff O'Neill's draft. Jeff went fifth.
Worked out pretty well for Friesen and for San Jose.
Right, yeah. But I think if you look back at it, there's no way San Jose should have had him at 11.
No kidding.
So I think you have to, every draft is different, but I think you have to start to figure out, okay, where, and this is where intel comes in. Mm-hmm. What are teams doing? Everybody's trying to find out what somebody else is doing without giving out what they're doing.
Well, it's a perfect segue into this Anaheim situation, because I would argue the same thing applied with Cam Fowler, where Fowler, I believe, was supposed to be the third pick in the Sagan Hall draft, and he dropped to 11 or 12.
12,
and Anaheim's like, okay, we'll take him. Like, go ahead. Now he's a great player, and Pierre LeBrun reporting yesterday that they're on their way to signing an extension with him.
I guess so.
I would think, with the playoffs he had.
I said to Bob Murray during the series against Edmonton, we had talked a couple of times, but I said to him, I said, I just have two words for you. I'm Fowler. He goes, what's that? I said, pay him. He goes, I'm trying.
Oh, yeah, man. This kid, he's a good player.
Oh, is he good?
Really good player. And guess what? They're going to need him, because news coming out of Bob Murray and the Ducks, Sammy Vatanen and Hampus Lindholm undergoing shoulder surgery. Lindholm is out 4 to 5 months. Vatanen will be out even longer than that. And there's a Leaf connection here, because we've talked a lot about trades, and I've noticed that a lot of Leaf fans, they're skittish. They don't like the idea of even contemplating what the deal would be. I had a buddy of mine call today frothing at the mouth because he was listening to Leaf's Lunch, and they were talking about making a deal and who would go where. And he's like, why are we even talking about that? Especially when it comes to Nylander, right? Like, Nylander's very sensitive. And you and I, we've had this conversation many times before. The reason Nylander gets brought up is because Matthews isn't going anywhere, and you presume Marner's not going anywhere. So, naturally, you look to the third guy.
And you and I have come to the conclusion,
like, Nylander's not going anywhere either.
Unless somebody comes in and hits you over the head.
With
says,
an absolute grand slam.
That's
an
how it has to be
grand. That's how good he is. That's how good these three are. Yep. This is how exciting. I'm in the same position as my buddy and other Leaf fans. I want to see Matthews, Marner, Nylander on the same team for the next decade. I think that, as a top three, has the potential to be absolutely lethal. But there is clearly a connection with Anaheim, and the Leafs aren't alone in this. Every team in the league is looking for upgrades on the back end. But you said before, you think Anaheim will protect 7 forwards, 3D. They don't have to protect Montour based on the rules, don't have to protect Theodore, or that other Swede that they have coming
up. Jakob Larsson,
who I would assume they're expecting to step in and play next year.
Well, he's going to
really
have
good.
To step right. He played at the beginning of this year.
Exactly.
They're counting on him to step right in next year and play minutes.
I don't think, clearly, Fowler's not going anywhere. Bieksa, he might waive so that he can actually be claimed. Vegas more than likely won't claim him. Manson, you've sold me on that. I think they'll protect Manson.
Well, he's very unique. Yeah.
Big, tough, right-handed shot.
Passes the puck, skates, yep.
he's exactly what you're looking for in terms of a top four with a different style.
Yep.
The belief is, based on the numbers, then, if you're just adding by subtraction, Sammy Vatanen would be the guy who might be available via trade. But if he's out for 6 months.
And because of, when you say numbers, and because of a salary.
Which is what, around $4 million?
Yeah, I think it's $4.8 million, and he's got 3 years left. So the term is great. He's got value in term, and he's got value in his dollars. So I think that, you know, and for the Anaheim Ducks, who are going to sign Fowler, right, they're going to come into other situations with other players that they're going to have to sign. So this becomes significant.
If he's out for 6 months, it's got to affect some sort of value, doesn't it?
I mean, it has to affect
the way your team is going to approach that draft, presuming he's out for the first, you know, 40 games of the season next year.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So does it not present a different opportunity for a team that might be interested in Vatanen to say, listen, you know, we understand we want to see the medical. This is assuming you get the look at the medical and you're satisfied with him medically going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, listen, you know, we're not going to give you, you know, we'll put conditions on this draft, on this trade. We'll take Vatanen. We know we might not have him for the first 2 months of the season, but the conditions will be if he plays half the games in the 2017-18 season, and we make the playoffs, you know, maybe you start with a third-round pick, and then it goes to a second-round pick, or maybe it starts with a certain prospect, and then the draft pick can get higher based on what Vatanen does.
Mm-hmm.
But you're moving that draft pick out to 2018 to 2019. I legitimately thought that, you know, healthy defenseman, Bob Murray might have had a chance to move into the top 10 of this year's draft with a healthy, like, say.
Well, do you think it might change his mind, though, where he says, you know what, now, because I'm not going to get that value, I'm in a better position to keep Vatanen and put Manson up for grabs.
He's not putting Manson up for grabs.
You just don't see that happening.
No, well, like, when I say up for grabs, I mean you're putting him in a bidding situation, right? But there's also the dollars, Brian. Mm-hmm. There's also the salary cap consideration, right?
Well, he's on a really good contract. I mean, he's mid-20s.
Oh, yeah, Manson's he's just getting going. Yeah, he's just starting. No, but Vatanen, so you got to start creating room for, like, in your salary cap. So that's what led me to think that Vatanen would have been the player that, you know, obviously would be interesting to other teams, and also, you know, Anaheim may be more motivated to push the envelope on him. But maybe now you look at down the road and you say, as a team trying to acquire him, hey, we'll give you something in this, but it's going to be down the road based on his health coming back.
Well, Vatanen.
So is there an opportunity? That's my question. Is there an opportunity for other teams now to maybe not have to give up something significant and be in a little wait and see?
I would imagine there would be.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if the Leafs would circle Vatanen as the high priority. He's a good player. I mean, when you consider what else they have in their top four, Gardner, Riley, Zaitsev, he has similarities to those players. He's a skillful guy, can put up some offense, can play the power play.
He's a pretty good defense. Like, he's a competitive defensive
player. That's what you got to ask yourself, right?
And he's going to get at times against certain players, but he's a competitive defensive player. Like, he competes defensively. He's good.
Well, he would certainly be an upgrade over, like, Connor Carrick or whoever they have.
So let me ask you this. Like, would you trade a prospect, a B prospect, out of your system, and put a condition on a second round pick to get Vatanen?
Yes, I would.
So that's a scenario I'm presenting.
Yeah, and so, I think that makes a lot of sense. But you got to ask yourself, will another team give them more?
Well, exactly. But now, see, now there's opportunity to maybe be creative a little bit to a greater extent that might meet Bob Murray's needs.
Right. It's going to be a fascinating month.
Yeah, it is.
And a half.
I think so, too.
I can't wait for it with the expansion draft and the fact that teams are going to lose players and they know it. So They're going to trade these guys. Why would you give them away for free?
I think he would.
You're not going to do that.
No way.
You'll take whatever you can. And if you got a really good player, you're going to get something.
Yep.
But injuries and caps, and that's why the Leafs are in a great spot. They're not going to lose anyone of significance, and they've got a ton of cap space. Like, they're just simply in a position to pounce on someone, and I think it'll be interesting to see where they, because I don't see them signing any. They're not going to sign Shattenkirk or anything like that.
They're not
going to do that. I think, you know, maybe a Hunwick type, a Pollock type, you know, back end of the rotation type guy on the defense corps. The only way, though, that they really upgrade is via trade.
Yeah.
That's the only way they're going
to
do it.
Well, the other one I keep coming back to, and I know there's a history between coach and player, is Brendan Smith. Like, I wonder.
He's a UFA, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. So I wonder. I mean, but I start to go back to this. What is the biggest need for the Detroit Red Wings? Defense. And they tried to sign him. They know him, and they traded him. So what? That tells you a couple of things.
Good point.
Like, you know, is his asking price way too high? And I think that's where you got to be careful. You know, sometimes you get ahead of yourself, right? And, you know, I know down the stretch, you know, when the Leafs were finishing the regular season, you start to look, what would their season look like, their roster look like next year? Then you start to factor in and you watch a little bit. Not that you're not watching, but you really hone in. And Carl Alsner and Kevin Shattenkirk, to me, dollar-wise, player-wise, just don't fit.
And it's going to burn you down the road. It'll burn you every single time. A contract of that extent, it will burn you down the road. Bob McKenzie and the O-Dog will be back in here. We'll get his take, their take, on this Vatanen and Lindholm injury news. And we'll tee up Game 7 tonight. Pens playing host to Ottawa. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app and on TSN 2. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVR on TSN 2. If you can't watch the show live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted back on iTunes. We had big technical issues for like 4 or 5 days, but my understanding is everything's back to normal. We're all good. We got the O-Dog back in here, and Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, is brought to you by Finance It.
Did you hear about this the other day, Bob?
I missed this.
So it was Brian and I. You guys were up in Ottawa, and Brian kept getting texts and emails and tweets like, where's the podcast? I want to listen to the podcast. And Brian's going, well, listen live. He goes, we're on live right now.
Yeah, we're on right now. What do you need the podcast for?
People freak out, though.
Oh. It was the whole show, right, Brian?
The whole afternoon. Hey, where's the podcast? Where's the podcast? And I'm like,
well, maybe they want to go back and listen to the beginning from start to finish. They want the whole experience.
And that was the explanation I kept getting. But you can still get a taste of it while we're live, right?
No, they want the podcast.
I guess. You're people, a podcast guy.
People
you get
want,
it.
It's not so much whether you're a podcast or not. People just come to expect today on demand.
Mm-hmm.
On demand is I watch a TV show when I want to watch a TV show, not when the networks tell me it's on. Because I've got a PVR or a TiVo or Netflix or whatever the case may be. So you want things on demand. And when you don't get them, you're very unhappy.
You're really
unhappy. And there's usually a relationship between how free the service is versus how angry people get. In other words, the less you pay for it, the more you feel entitled to it, and the more you rag on people like you for not getting it.
So true. Like, I have anything to do with the server being down on iTunes. I don't know what the hell's going on, but are you guys Louis C.K. fans? You like Louis C.K.?
No.
Anyway, he does this bit. I'm not going to go into it, but He just talks about how technology has advanced so much in our generation, and yet it's spoiled on the crappiest generation ever because all we do is complain. And he tells this story about how he was on a plane years ago, and they just announced, like, you're one of the first flights in the world to have free Wi-Fi. And it's working for, like, 3 hours, and then it goes down. And the guy beside him goes, this is bull crap. He's like, dude, you didn't even know this existed 3 hours ago, but now you feel entitled to it.
To complain.
It's to complain, yeah. You know, and it's so true. And Louis, he does this incredible bit on it about how we complain about being on planes. He's like, like, you're complaining about taxiing for whatever. He's like, did you fly like a bird through the sky, like literally 5 minutes afterwards? It's brilliant. Anyway, game seven tonight. What's your feeling here, Bob? I know you're not big into predictions.
Yeah,
but
you know what? I don't know. I guess I probably lean a little more towards experience. You want to bet against Crosby and Malkin. You want to bet against the defending Cup champs. And yet, you could easily convince me or make a case that Craig Anderson and Erik Karlsson are going to do something really special and they'll win the game. And that, you know, the magic runs out at some point for teams that won it the year before. And maybe that's the situation here. But I guess if you were asking, and I'm not making a prediction, but if you're asking me, I had to lay down my hard-earned money one way or the other, I'd probably err on the side of the Penguins.
Brian and Jeff brought it up, and Ray touched on it. Do you see any similarities between Dwayne Rolison and Chris Pronger in 06 with the Oilers and this Senators team?
Could be. They may be a team of destiny. They've had a special quality, and I don't make predictions, but at the beginning of the playoffs, I did say to people, don't sleep on the Sens. Like, they're not a crappy team, and they've got and we do a lot of their games, you know, and I'm on TSN 1200 in Ottawa every Sens pregame show for the whole year, preseason, regular season, playoffs. We broadcast their games regionally, I haven't done as many this year as I did last year, but still did a bunch. And because I'm on that pregame show, I spent a lot more time watching them and paying real close attention to them. And they've had a certain quality about them all year. And I figured going in that they really had I assumed they would get to where they got right now, which is the conference final. I thought it would be against Washington, more likely to be against Washington than Pittsburgh. And probably, I have to be honest, I never envisioned them going to the Cup final. But now you get to a Game 7, you have to envision it. Because what's a Game 7? A Game 7 is a pick 'em. Mm-hmm. Let's not kid anybody here. This is not about who's the best team or whatever. This is about what happens in 60 minutes of hockey. And we know in 60 minutes of hockey, one guy, a good goalie, a bad goal,
it happened two nights ago. They got smoked in that game. Absolutely. You were in the building.
Well,
it was brutal.
Everybody's going on about how great Nashville is. Granted, they've been great and they're full value for where they are. But I watched the game the other night. They weren't even in it. If John Gibson's healthy, I've got to assume that Anaheim wins that game. And I don't know what happens in Game 7. Maybe Nashville wins it. But everybody's going to Nashville this and Nashville that. And I understand because they've made it as far as they did and they deserve the accolades. But they got pumped the other night, and they won the hockey game.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking a lot about legacy today. You're a hockey historian. You've been tracking the game for a long, long time. And the difference, I think, between LeBron and Crosby is that LeBron has a legitimate shot at catching Jordan and being the GOAT. I don't think Sid has that chance to catch Gretzky.
No.
But if he gets to back-to-back cup finals and he wins back-to-back cup finals, they would be the first team to do it in the cap era, first team in 20 years since Detroit. That'll be four cup finals, three cups for him. Does he have a chance to catch Lemieux, in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, I've always had a tough time reconciling the you know, you got the Bobby Orr and the Wayne Gretzky. For me, he's always been the tough one, and mm-hmm. I always tell people I won't pick one over the other. And I guess Mario's been that next guy. But Mario and Sid are so different in so many ways, and yet because they're Penguins and one's now the owner and one's the franchise player, there's a comparison to be made. But I will tell you this. I was watching them the other night really closely. We had a great spot in Ottawa. We've got this booth or box that's really close to the ice, and you can really get a feel for, we're 15, 20 rows up, you can really get a feel for the battles and what's going on out there. Crosby was otherworldly the other night, and he didn't even get a goal. Malkin got the only goal of the game. He had six shots on goal. I'm amazed at the things he can do in heavy traffic. And they had somebody on him the whole night. The whole night somebody had a glove in his face or in his chest, and they were pushing him off the puck, even when he didn't have the puck. They were interfering him. They were poking him. They were prodding him. They were squirting water at him. They were doing all this. And I looked to see if there was any negative reaction, any negative body language, any frustration on his part, and there wasn't even a little bit. And some of the little plays that he makes, just the puck comes to him and it's instantly off his stick and on another guy's stick and at about 90 mile an hour pass. It's crazy how good this guy is.
There was even a pickup in the neutral zone where he couldn't even see the puck. He got down low to the ice, put his stick behind. Yeah, he laid his stick on the ice and then it was on his tape. And me and Pooley were like, did you just see that? It was just ridiculous. It was Gretzky, like his passes. Even the little play to Daly with that non-goal, it was just he does kind of Gretzky-like things offensively.
So I guess the point I'm trying to make is that as I was watching the other night, I was thinking to myself, I'm not sure whatever accolades and whatever credit he gets, I'm not sure it's enough. He's right now in my mind, and people will say, well, Malkin's got more points, and Malkin, you know, he's been on fire in these playoffs, and he didn't even get picked in the top 100 players of all time.
Bogus.
What's wrong with that picture? But I just don't even think Crosby gets enough credit for how good he is right now. He's right now, and McDavid will win the Hart Trophy. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't know whether Crosby will win the Lindsay or not. But he's nominated, right?
Yep.
Okay, the three guys I forget.
And Bobrovsky was the other guy,
right? And that, but. Right now, as good as Connor was, and watching these playoffs and watching Sid shift in, shift out, he's the best player in the game right now.
What a stretch to go to the playoffs.
Year.
Yeah, the playoffs last year, the cup win, then go right into the World Cup and then
World
missed
Cup
a
MVP.
Missed a couple games and then just started scoring at will. It's quite a stretch of hockey.
But you know, Brian, when you brought it up, though, about Lemieux, at first when you brought it up, I was like, no way. But then you start to think about it, and you start to put, because again, like to your point, Bob, you kind of have, it's Gretzky or whatever, and then you have Lemieux as the next guy, Howe probably. But then when you start to put, you go, it's
he's right in that
there.
Conversation.
He is.
It's attainable.
He's right in
least.
That conversation.
It's not a, you can't dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, Mario was really hobbled by the bad back in a lot of his years, and he obviously had to bounce back from the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And Crosby's had to deal with the concussion issue for a period of time. And again, just even in these playoffs. But, you know, the fact that first few games back, everybody was saying, well, his numbers aren't the same since the concussion. Maybe he doesn't feel. And then, you know, he's got power play goals in three straight games. And his level of his play is remarkable. But I'll tell you what. As much as I was marveling at Crosby, too, I was looking at that Malkin, and that Owen and I were talking about it. That goal he scored.
Unbelievable.
Mean, off the face-off, and Zach Smith's trying to give him the stick between the legs and stay on him and separate him, push him away, and get some one-on-one in the corner. And nothing against Zach Smith, but that's not even fair.
No, it's not.
That's not even fair. Like, you got to triple-team that guy.
I want to ask you two guys. You were there. I was looking at the time on ice. Pageau and Zach Smith were in the top three of even strength ice time for Ottawa forwards, and Turris was just close. Like there, Zach Smith had the most even strength ice time of any Ottawa forward. Is that a problem for them?
it's not a problem, but it might go into the idea of, are you just out there to be out there? You know, like I talked, we talked about it on SportsCenter. It's like, I want the attitude of go out there and make a play, like the Bobby Ryan kind of approach to these playoffs, where it's like, if you're just going out there to check and kind of keep things even, I don't think that's any way to approach any type of competition.
I don't think it's a problem. Earlier in the series, Zach Smith, I thought he set the tone in that game, the blowout game, where Hoffman scored in the first minute, and then Smith ended up getting the fourth goal. But I thought he set the tone right from the get-go. And I, to a degree, I disagree with O a little bit, I guess, in that when you look at the talent level on both of these teams, if they just say, damn the Torpedoes, let's go for it, let's go up and down the ice with these guys, I think they've got to do their best to do what they can to limit 87 and 71, and Smith and Pageau probably give them their best chance to do that. And then keep it close, and then counterpunch and strike and win. But
I'm by no means saying go nuts out there.
Yeah.
But just a little bit of
yep.
Go get it.
But I think Zach Smith does that to a large degree. He's an aggressive player. He's an in-your-face player. But, I mean, that matchup on Malkin, on that goal that Malkin scored, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Bob McKenzie in studio. Big injury news at Anaheim. Hampus Lindholm and Sammy Vatanen both undergoing shoulder surgery. Lindholm out 4 to 5 months. Vatanen out even longer than that. Obviously, in Toronto, we've been tracking Anaheim because we believe there could be a connection there. Who knows? I mean, a lot of teams will be kicking tires, but because of the protection rules and the expansion draft, more than likely Anaheim's going to have to deal one of their big guys. Maybe it's Vatanen. If it is, how might this injury affect the way everything plays out?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Vatanen may be a guy that they were looking at trading. I don't know that Vatanen would fetch as much as some. I don't think they're. I'd be really shocked if Hampus Lindholm is ever a trade consideration for them. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to get Fowler re-upped, and I think Lindholm's going to be their other big horse because I think those are the two best defensemen that they've got. They definitely don't want to give up Brandon Montour, I wouldn't think. So Vatanen might have been the logical guy to trade, and this complicates it if in fact they were going to trade him, but. You know, maybe they're going to trade Theodore. Maybe, they've got other kids coming. And I haven't looked at the precise expansion rules for as it pertains to Anaheim. But I'm trying to think. I don't even know if Montour's...
They don't have to.
Manson's
the other guy they have to protect. So maybe Manson's the guy, if you're going to lose... If you say we can't trade Vatanen because he's injured, and we've got to protect Fowler, and we've got to protect...
Lindholm,
and now we got to protect Vatanen. Well, then that Manson's the guy that we'll trade, and use him as the trade, and don't lose him in the expansion draft, or, leave Vatanen exposed and say, hey, we would like to trade him. But I'm sure that Bob Murray's got lots of time to figure out. He's got a few weeks, anyways, to figure out how he wants to approach that and what impact the injuries will have on his ability to trade a defenseman. Maybe they're trading somebody else anyways. And this just means there'll be one less guy in there in the fall and while they wait for Vatanen to recover.
Do you have any sense of how much, I don't know if you want to call them completed deals, but things will be done, like in terms of we agree to take this guy ahead of the submission?
I've heard, but it's not a news report. It's just a guess on my part and a lot of rumors. I've heard that there's at least 2, 3, maybe as many as 4 deals already cut with Vegas. I don't know where they are or who they are yet. I haven't had a chance to focus yet on the expansion draft stuff covering the playoffs. We'll start to get to that on the off days during the final. But there's no question that George McPhee has some things in his back pocket. And I've got to believe, and I could be, and again, it's just an opinion. It's not based on any inside information or knowledge or news. I've got to believe that the Tampa Bay Lightning are one of probably a couple of teams that are going to use this expansion draft to try and get financial relief. That, maybe expose a player, have a deal cooked to expose a player who Las Vegas will take for a premium and create some financial breathing room for Steve Yzerman. He did a marvelous job at the trade deadline of moving the Filppula contract, and I suspect he's going to do a real good job with the expansion draft to give himself some further financial breathing room.
Would it shock you if they had, like, let's use Anaheim just because we're talking about them. And we got into this last week because Babcock and Lou were both at the game in Nashville. They were at multiple games. If Bob Murray, the GM of the Ducks, had already told them, this is the guy who's going to be available. Come watch Vatanen because that's the guy. Like, that's who we're going to expose, or if you want to trade for him, that's it. Because wouldn't that make sense? I mean, wouldn't you want to get out in front of this? Or
I think you just leave all your options open. I mean, Toronto's not the only fish in the sea as far as making a deal. And you know, there's been lots of talk at Anaheim and Tampa would like to do something we can come up with off the top of our heads five or six teams like Toronto and Tampa and others that want good young puck moving defensemen. So, you know, I'm sure Bob Murray's saying, "Hey, make me an offer on any of my guys. Let's not restrict ourselves here. You don't have to just pick one."
Right. Sure. Get the ball rolling. Get the bids going. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun month and a half, man.
It's interesting. I mean, the expansion has created a new layer here.
Right,
of intrigue and trade possibilities.
Yeah, exactly. And Vegas is that team that could get involved before we even know it. Yeah. You know, everyone's assuming, again, oh, this team's going to call and trade for Vatanen. Well, what if Vegas says, no, we'll trade for him. We'll give up the pick or whatever. I mean, they could potentially do that too, right?
Yeah, there's
and claim someone as well. I mean,
yeah, or
they're allowed
just,
to make
trades. Or just
trades.
Leave them exposed and claim them.
Right.
But there's it's going to be fascinating, and George McPhee is going to be a really popular guy between now and the expansion draft.
Yeah, looking forward to it. All right, Bob, thanks for popping in, man.
Thanks, fellas.
There's Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, and it's brought to you by Finance and Monthly Payment Plans for Big Dreams and Everyday Budgets. I think we have enough time for a
weekly.
Non-gi. So we'll get to that, and we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on Pittsburgh in the under tonight, and I'm on Cleveland Road Plus in Boston. Throw down 20, and you can score 55. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
Wee-gee. Non-gee.
So this came up because the Tap Man owns the rights to Yes Guy, No Guy, and he hates when we use it. And the other day on the show, I don't know why you said it, but we were talking about Guy Boucher, and you said that's a Yes Guy. So then we were like, okay, maybe we'll do Yeski, no gi. Then someone tweeted in and said, why don't you just go French across the board? We gi, no gi.
So do you have any?
We got we gi, no gi.
What do you got for we gi, non gi? Sens pull off the upset tonight. We gi, non gi.
Non gi. Non gi. I'm on Pitt. I feel like Pittsburgh. Listen, I think it's a coin flip. Like, it's a close game. It's a game seven, but I got Pitt. I think Matt Murray will continue to play well. Sid and Gino will keep rocking.
No gi.
Where are you at?
Wee gi.
You're in Ottawa now.
I'm hashtag all in.
What changed? Like, why are you on their bandwagon?
I just find it fun. I just love the competitiveness. Unlike you, I like the Canadian teams. I like being in the rink and... Bob Mr. and James and Pooley, they look at me because I go nuts when the team scores. I find it fun to be a part of.
I do too. Jeff, I was in Edmonton, and I've been in Edmonton a lot over the years, and I was there a few times this year during the regular season. That playoff atmosphere was unbelievable. There was no way you couldn't get wrapped up in it.
That's what I find. You get wrapped up in it.
One of my most special moments, it'll go down as one of my best. The U.S. national anthem when Brett Kissel's microphone network. It was unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, it was moving to be in that building.
Winner of the East wins the cup. Wee-gi, non-gi.
I think it depends on who it's going to be, and that's the problem. But I think
so you're non-gi.
Well, no, because I think Pittsburgh will beat Nashville. I don't think Ottawa will. I think that Johansson injury at some point is going to cause them problems. You got to give them credit. They won two games after he went out. That was huge. But as Bob said 20 minutes ago, Anaheim destroyed Nashville in game six. Absolutely destroyed them, and Pekka Rinne played great. I'll say wee-gi because I think Pitt's going to win tonight, and then I think Pitt wins another cup.
That's two wee-gees for me.
A couple wee-gees for the boys.
Where Nongi.
Okay. Weegee or Nongi, the Cavs win by double digits tonight.
Weegee. Weegee.
Two dozen.
You think so?
Weegee, yeah.
24 you think they put up? Weegee. I'm on board. I think they're going to smoke him tonight. I do.
Weegee around the horn.
How much would you pay for a ticket if you were a big Celtics fan? To get in the building, what would your limitation be? And if you're going in expecting them to lose the game anyway?
Wouldn't be very much. I think I might go down to Cheers and turn on the TV.
It's a great spot, Cheers. Yeah. I don't know how many people know that there's actually a place called Cheers. That's
what I'd be doing. I wouldn't be spending a lot of money to go to that game.
Me neither.
I don't think you'd probably have to spend a lot of money. You could probably wheel in there for a pretty reasonable price.
But you are going to see LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time, right? Like, he's always worth the price of admission. Be able to say you saw LeBron in the Eastern Conference Final in his prime, that's worth it more than likely 20, 30 years down the road.
Yeah,
but it's tough for the moment.
I hear you. But you're going to get a chance to watch LeBron again next year in the Eastern Conference Final.
Weegee.
And the year after.
Weegee. The O-Dogs drive home is going to be a gong show tonight because apparently the lake shore is shut down due to flooding.
All of the lake shore?
No, it's from Brunswick to Ontario, I think.
No, I'm west, buddy.
You're okay? All right, so Nongi, you'll be okay. Well, you're here for the panel anyway, so you're going home late at night.
Yeah.
But the flooding downtown, I guess it's a big problem.
You know, I'm worried about Center Island. I take my kids there a lot.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that's something. That's a great spot. You have to be worried about it.
CP24 was interviewing a woman that had been living on the island for like 44 years. You imagine living on an island like that for 44 years? It's not that big.
No.
Wilson! I would go nuts. I would have a volleyball as my friend.
Like, yeah, you can take the ferry across, but it's a pain to wait for it. And
you'd be like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Start freaking out, chasing kids around.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
That's right. That would be us on the island.
Red room.
All right, boys.
That's it?
We're out of here.
No three stars?
Nah.
I got to give the...
You're the first star for stepping in here.
No,
Noodles,
but I got... Do you know who I'm giving a first star to? I got to give a first star. Darcy Tucker. 22-hour bus drive. And I love the way, and Jeff, you know this, we figured it out in the back of the bus.
Yeah. Went back to Brandon, 1-2
games. I love it. Three.
I've sorted a lot of things out with a cold beer on the back of a bus.
All right. Shout out to Darcy Tucker and our boy Noodles, too.
Yeah,
and
get
producer
well.
Al.
Al's making things happen. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.